1 FM Stereo WUSB Stonybrook.
Shadows, darkness follows quiet shadows. You walk beside a shadow.
Recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in.
Hi, this is Professor Timothy Mount at SUNY Stony Brook. Radiothon 91 is approaching March 21st through March 30th. Join us for a special edition of Cantata when I will play the entire St. Matthew Passion of J.S. Bach and support WUSB 90.1 in Stony Brook.
Which cause stress on our bodies. These include physical, chemical, environmental, and emotional factors, to name a few. The Natural Alternative segment on the WUSB Radiothon is coming to you on Thursday, March 21st at 2 p.m. to teach you about how you can handle stress in your life. We will be discussing stress and its effects on your health with our guest, Dr. Serafina Corsello, a renowned complementary physician with a deep and profound understanding about the physiology of stress and how to handle it. So tune in to the WUSB Radiothon on Thursday, March 21st at 2 p.m. and become a less stressed out listener.
Attention shoppers! On sale now at aisle 52, electric Kool-Aid, banana peels, postage stamps, electric sugar cubes, and mushroom tea. On sale now at aisle 52.
And shoppers, don't forget, Psychedelic Attesan will be open for a 3-hour Radiothon special. Starting at 8 p.m. on March 28th. So for the best in psychedelic, garage, and space rock, tune in to Psychedelic Attesan, a most bodacious bodega.
Country and Western music?
Country music, you betcha. As part of Radiothon 91, WUSB is going country. Tune in for a special Debbie Does Country, Saturday night, March 23rd, 7 to 10 p.m., and join me and special guest host, star of stage, screen, Saturday Night Live, and the National Lampoon, Michael O'Donoghue, for 3 hours of the best country music this side of Mars or Nashville. Yeehaw!
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. The program is Brain Damage, and the station is the first station of the 90s. And now it's time for your program.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. Here's Joe Adamoff to answer your questions, and all our questions today come from Mr. Davis of New York. Do you believe Soviet foreign policy will change as a result of Shevardnadze's retirement, he asks.
Well, I firmly believe that Soviet foreign policy will not change as a result of Mr. Shevardnadze's retirement. The architect of the present Soviet foreign policy is Mr. Gorbachev, and he, so far, is firmly in control. At the last Congress, a deputy suggested a vote of no confidence be taken in Mr. Gorbachev. The overwhelming majority, about three-quarters, voted in favor of Mr. Gorbachev. So, he has the backing, that means, of the Congress of People's Deputies. And I'm absolutely positive that in his foreign policy, he also enjoys the backing of the people at large.
How do Russians celebrate Christmas?
Well, you know, the Russian Orthodox Church celebrates Christmas on January 7th, according to the Julian calendar. You see, December 25th falls on January 7th. This day, the Parliament of the Russian Federation declared a national holiday, something that would have been unheard of before. For hours, we watched on television the church service from the Yelochov Cathedral here in Moscow. It was live. On Red Square, adjoining the Kremlin, there was a huge Christmas tree. Mind you, Christmas tree, not New Year's tree like before. And hundreds of people with lit candles marched through the Red Square with the clergyman taking part, and a service was held. And what do you know, the bells of St. Basil's cathedrals rang for the first time since the revolution. In Leningrad, on the TV marathon, that's a show of theirs, 70 cathedrals and churches were handed over to the head of the Leningrad Area Orthodox Church by the mayor of Leningrad. And now services will be held in the St. Isaac's Cathedral. The St. Isaac's Cathedral is perhaps the number one landmark of Leningrad. And large donations were made to restore the churches in Leningrad. The church service in the Orthodox Church, mind you, is very ornate. Golden robes of the clergy, gilded altar, beautiful choir singing, icons on the walls. In the television news, the anchorman said, Merry Christmas. Now, to us, this is something out of this world. And he wished us all a happy holiday. Now, such things as Santa Claus, presents, parties, greeting cards, the fir tree, were all part of the New Year's celebration before. Now, I will not be surprised if all these things will be switched over to Christmas, where they all belong, incidentally. on a children's program on television. The kids were told of the history and origin of Christmas. And again on television, we saw acted out scenes from the Bible. Yes, this is a changing world.
And another question is, do you have horse racing tracks?
Do we? We have over 100. We have, steeplechase, flat races, that's, with drivers in sulkies, little carts with bicycle-like wheels, trotting races, competitions for horsemanship or dressage. We have a totalizer at many of the racetracks where you can win quite a big sum. Since we're on the subject, let me say that we breed racehorses at our stud farms. Auctions are regularly held, and foreign buyers come to buy our thoroughbreds.
Mr. Davis also would like to know, what is your largest hotel in Moscow, and would you advise him to stay there?
Well, the largest is Rossiya, which is Russian for Russia. It's a couple of hundred yards east of the Kremlin and faces the Moscow River. Incidentally, you can see it from the top floors of Radio Moscow. It has accommodations for 6,000 guests. It's enormous. Let me tell you something. Foreign guests hate it because it's so vast. It covers 4 square blocks. And to get to your room, you walk and walk and walk. But from the restaurant on the 21st floor, you get a fantastic view, a bird's eye view of the cathedrals and the wonderful buildings of the Kremlin. The hotel has 9 restaurants and a number of buffets and bars.
Mr. Davis would also like to know, is abortion readily available to your women?
It is legal only if performed at a hospital or a clinic. But before a woman has an abortion, the physicians will always try to talk her out of it. Unfortunately, very unfortunately, we hold first place in the world in the number of abortions. This, to some extent, may be explained by lack of appropriate knowledge among the youth and often the absence of contraceptives. For instance, to this day, we do not have the pill and very often some of the other more common forms of contraceptives.
What is the most popular breed of dog?
The poodle and the cocker spaniel. In a recent television program, an official of our dog lovers club said the pedigrees of our dogs are very unreliable and are not recognized abroad. I was very surprised.
From dogs to pornography, what is the Soviet government's attitude on pornography?
Of late, what with glasnost, there was an explosion, I would say, of pornographic literature, sometimes, it may be called semi-pornographic literature, published by non-government organizations and individuals, and the literature was sold from stalls in the street and in underground crossings, of which there are very many in Moscow. But just recently, President Gorbachev decided that measures be worked out against this disease, and the commission was formed under our Minister of Culture and an excellent actor, incidentally, Gubenko.
How do you feel about the aid Western countries are sending to the Soviet Union?
Well, naturally, we are grateful for the aid. We see in this aid an act of solidarity, of charity in an hour of crisis and need. The parcels go to invalids, to incapacitated people, orphans, to people below the poverty line, pensioners who get a very small pension, hospitals, and so on. You've got to understand, though, that in a nation of almost 300 million, this aid does not solve anything, does not solve our food problem, and reaches only a very, very small percentage of the population. Nevertheless, I want to say that people here feel that today we are a member of the great family of nations. But if you want my personal feelings, I'd say I feel profound shame. Shame that after 70 years, we, a great nation, find ourselves in this, I don't know what to call it, pitiful situation.
Are all the parcels reaching their destination, or do some end up on the black market?
Well, it was shown on television that some parcels are, or rather were, appropriated by none other, you never guess who, some of our Red Cross officials. Others by municipal deputies in Leningrad. If you ask me, this amounts to theft, pure and simple. The gifts, of course, are followed very closely by various officials, both ours and from abroad, and I believe that a very small percentage goes astray, a small percentage.
What do the letters CCCP stand for?
They stand for the Central Committee of the Communist Party.
Joseph, is that one of your jokes?
I'm afraid it is. You've got to understand that these are not Latin letters. They are, that is, letters of the Latin alphabet. They're letters of the Cyrillic alphabet. And in the Cyrillic alphabet, these letters read SSSR. And I think you have already understood what that means. It stands for Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
Did many Soviet women take part in fighting against the Nazis in World War II?
Yes, over 1 million. Soviet women were in the armed forces during the war, but most of them served in the medical corps, in anti-aircraft artillery. A lady who retired recently and worked in our department here at Radio Moscow served in a searchlight unit. Another who recently passed away, also from our department, served as a radio operator. I'm speaking of Radio Moscow now, mind you. We also had a woman in another department who served as a fighter pilot. I think she's retired now, and she was decorated with some of our highest decorations as a fighter pilot. And to this day, in the Latin American department of Radio Moscow, there's a lady who served, you'd never guess as what, she served as a sniper. Some women fought in the guerrillas. A Soviet women guerrilla, incidentally, she's living to this day, blew up the Gauleiter of Belarusia by placing a mine in his bed. She worked, I think, as a maid or something. We have a women's regiment of night bombers. Here's an interesting story. A woman fighter pilot downed a Nazi fighter ace. An ace, mind you. And when captured, he said he wanted to see the man who shot him down. What was his surprise when a young girl in uniform walked into the room? Our nurses, who saved no end of lives by hauling the wounded from under fire to safety, have merited, not all, of course, just a few, the Florence Nightingale Award. 86 women during the war merited our highest decoration, that of Hero of the Soviet Union. The Hero of the Soviet Union is equivalent to the Congressional Medal of Honor or the British Victoria Cross.
How good and fast is your mail delivery?
Very bad and very slow, I'd say. Inside Moscow, it takes several days. From the States, a letter usually takes anywhere from 2 weeks to a month, sometimes less, sometimes more. Once I got two airmail letters from Britain that took 5 months getting here. Well, I heard that the reason is lack of enough personnel, lack of modern equipment, and what have you. But I don't think that's an excuse.
And what is the weather like in Moscow?
You know, the weather this whole winter has been fluky. A few degrees below freezing, a few degrees above freezing, with practically no snow. Then after New Year's, a heavy snowfall with a thermometer at about 23, 25 degrees Fahrenheit. Then again, it all began to melt, and would you believe it, I still go around in a raincoat. And last winter, it was exactly the same.
I understand there is a black market in dollars. Now, is this true, writes Mr. Davis?
I'm afraid it is true. I'll tell you an interesting story. Some American friends told me no sooner do they leave the hotel, they're besieged by teenagers who offer 20 rubles for a dollar, which means their lunch for three cost them 12 rubles. Now, this lunch cost my American friends, this was only a few days ago, it cost them 60 cents. 60 cents for three steaks and three coffees, in a restaurant, mind you. But I do not advise tourists to go in for these dealings because it is considered an offense and you may get into trouble. The latest rate of exchange for tourists is, I think, very fair. They could have paid for this lunch for three steaks and three coffees, they could have paid, according to the official rate of exchange, $2. So I think that's fair enough, isn't it?
That was Joe Adamoff answering questions on Moscow Mailbag. And address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. You couldn't do better than write us that letter. Your comments on this show are welcome. A reminder that Mailbag is on the air every Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday.
Hi, everyone. This is Teresa Zapolska of the Polka Country USA show, inviting you to tune in to 90.1 FM for our five-hour Polka Marathon segment of the WUSB 1991 Radiothon on Sunday, March 24th from 6 p.m. to 11. Please call in your pledges during the show and come on down to our Polka Show open house party that evening here at WUSB at the State University at Stony Brook. See you soon.
This is Ed Davis inviting you to join me for a very special edition of Blues with a Feeling. This Friday, March 22nd, as part of WUSB's Radiothon 1991, I'll be your host from 9 to 11 o'clock that morning, bringing you the best in the blues. Tune in and find out what the theme of the show will be that day. That's Friday, March the 22nd from 9 to 11 a.m. right here on Long Island's first station of the 90s, WUSB Stony Brook. See you then.
And you're listening to Brain Damage here on WUSB in Stony Brook. Stay tuned. We've got a lot of things we're going to be covering today. We have your phone calls, of course, at 632-6901 and a lot of other things, including world events and local events. So stay right where you are. You'll never guess what that record's called. Yeah. You'll never guess. The Pogues here on WUSB Stony Brook. Why are we playing the Pogues? Why not? You know, we can play the Pogues if we want to. Just the way things are. This is Brain Damage. And for some reason tonight our studio is swamped with people. But we're going to cover a wide variety of things. Oh, how nice. The news is here. I guess we'll start with... This isn't the news. No. No. The news... This isn't internet. This is Plainsboro. This is New Jersey news. Plainsboro, Trenton. Bethesda, Maryland. Okay, I'll give you international then. Well, there's nothing wrong with New Jersey, I guess. I don't know. But let's start with important news. Okay. How did a well-dressed couple persuade a token clerk to let them buy 12,000 tokens with a stolen cashier's check? Transit officials said in today's New York Times that a man and woman approached a subway token clerk claiming they wanted to buy a large amount of tokens for a corporation. They convinced the clerk to give them $16,000 worth of tokens in exchange for the check. I always like to start the show with an inspiring story, you know, for those of you that feel you can never accomplish something. This is proof that you can accomplish a great deal if you put your mind to it. $16,000 worth of tokens in exchange for a check. Transit officials believe another token clerk may have been in on the deal because normally clerks are not that stupid. It says normally clerks do not give out more than $50 in tokens. Police say the incident happened on February 13th at the 14th Avenue station on Avenue of the Americas. Does anybody know about a 14th Avenue station in the afternoon? How can 14th Avenue be on Avenue of the Americas in the first place? But I think they mean 14th Street Avenue of the Americas. Let's hope so, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense at all. Police say someone called the clerk, claiming to be a supervisor and said there would be someone arriving at the booth with the cashier's check and indicated that the clerk should accept it. Now, you have to wonder, how would they get the phone number for the subway station, you know? I mean, how do you get the phone number for a subway? It's not that easy, you know? It's almost impossible, one would say. I mean, you think you could call information and ask? I doubt it. But let's find out.
Neo Telephone, Ms. Pearl.
Yes, hello. I need the phone number for the subway station at 14th Street and Avenue of the Americas, please.
I can only give you the bus and subway travel number. The stations are not listed, sir.
They're unlisted. Uh-huh. Well, can you give me an address on it?
No, we don't have the station listed.
Okay, it's
not unlisted. It's no listing at all.
14th Street and Avenue of the Americas. Thank you. Now she knows the address anyway. Okay, but you can't. It's not that easy. That's the point I'm trying to make. I'm not trying to ridicule those poor people. Police say another clerk went to that token booth, and when the thieves showed up with the check, the token clerk named Keith Lewis advised the clerk to take it. So Lewis was arrested last month when the transit authority learned its bank would not honor the stolen check. Well, this happened last month. Uh-huh. Okay, I didn't know that. All right. Here's international news. Secretary of State James Baker has resumed his Moscow meeting with the Soviet foreign minister. The session started last night by touching on a strategic arms treaty and Moscow's role in the post-war Middle East. Baker is also expected to discuss the state of the Soviet economy and the situation in the Baltic republics. President Bush says a formal ceasefire in the Gulf War could be delayed by Iraq's use of helicopters against rebel forces. First it was chemical warfare, now it's helicopters, and soon I'm sure it will be sarcasm or anything. You know, leave those rebel forces alone. Bush is promising that U.S. forces in southern Iraq will not be locked into a long-term peacekeeping role, similar to that in South Korea, probably because they'll soon be involved in another war. So peacekeeping is lasting on their minds. Despite recent questions it's raised about a drug called THA, the Food and Drug Administration today will consider whether to approve it for treating Alzheimer's disease. Today's hearing will evaluate the latest study results of the drug, which has been the focus of controversy during years of research. The head of NASA's spaceflight program says a tiny crack found in the replacement for Shuttle Discovery's faulty door hinge is not a big deal and will not stop the shuttle from flying. However, it may cause it to crash. No. Sorry, the replacement hinge was taken from the newest shuttle, Endeavour, which is still being built. Did you know the new shuttle is called Endeavour? It's a new shuttle. Wow. That's something. When homeowner Wanda Sizemore went to investigate what she thought was a car crash Near her Princeton, West Virginia house, she instead found part of a small plane's engine in the house. This seems to always be happening to people down there. Four family members aboard the plane were hurt yesterday when the four-seat Cessna crashed into Sizemore's home. But it's a great way for people to get together, isn't it? I'm sure they'll be having reunions for years to come. Speaking of subways, I don't know if anybody caught the New York Times today, but something major is going to be happening to New York City subways in the next 10 years. New York City has selected an automatic fare collection system for subways and buses, intended ultimately to replace the token with a prepaid fare card. If you've ever been to Washington, D.C. or San Francisco, they have these little cards that you carry around with you, and you have to use them to get in, you have to use them to get out. And don't try getting out at the same place you got in, because you'll set off all kinds of alarms and buzzers. Anyway, this decision will not only eliminate the round, steel-centered coin that has jangled in the pockets of New Yorkers for nearly four decades, but it will usher in a new system of paying for transportation in the city, creating the option of varying rates according to distance traveled, and leading to new kinds of political struggles over fare increases and the need for token clerks. So, it could conceivably, according to this, it could conceivably cost more to go to a certain point in New York City than to another point in New York City, something that we've never had to deal with for those of us who travel in New York City. It also could cost more at a certain time. There could be peak periods and non-peak periods. So this is something that obviously input from people is very important at this stage, and input is what stopped a lot of the cuts that were supposed to take place with the Long Island Railroad, and input is something that makes a difference in any situation, whether it be international, national, local, or personal. Okay, anyway, this new advancement in mankind is intended to end the long lines that fray nerves and cause tempers to rise outside token booths, and it is designed to stymie the tens of thousands of people who have made a fare evasion a way of life by jamming turnstiles and vaulting over them, draining the system of needed revenue. Now, I've got two questions. Now, how is it that that having a card instead of a token is going to eliminate lines? You know, I mean, it seems to me people will just be waiting in line to buy cards instead of tokens. I'm not quite sure how they figure this. I've been in Washington, D.C., and there are lines all the time at those silly machines they have. And the thing is, they're machines, so you can't argue with them, and a lot of times the machines are wrong. So people start beating on the machines, and that's not nice. Saying it's better to beat on machines than have a temper rise outside a token booth? I don't know. Also, stymie the tens of thousands of people who make fare evasion a way of life. Well, what they're thinking of doing is building a structure that is impossible to jump over. Now, that's got nothing to do with the card. You know, the card is not what's keeping people from jumping over. If that little structure was not there, you could still jump over it whether or not you had a card. So, I don't understand why they don't just build the structures with the existing tokens. You know, tokens are easy. What's wrong with tokens? That's my question today. What is wrong? What's so bad about tokens? They're simple, you know? You know, you're supposed to use a token to get on a bus or a train, and I mean, that's all. It's just simple. And it works. It does work. Okay. And one final story about trains. In an incident involving conflicting testimony, death threats, and a lot of news coverage, the Humane Society issued summonses yesterday against a subway motorman and the Transit Authority after the death of a dog on Wednesday. The mixed-breed dog was run over near the 96th Street station on Manhattan's west side, either by a D train, if you believe the Transit Authority, or by an A train, according to the accounts of two witnesses on which the Humane Society is basing its complaint. The motorman was charged with inflicting death on an animal, Transit Authority with obstruction for not divulging the motorman's name. For 4 hours on Wednesday, starting at 5:45 a.m., the search for the dog tied up subway traffic, delaying 75,000 riders on 63 trains. Then at 9:50, the operator of a D train, according to the Transit Authority, seized the dog in front of his train north of the 96th Street station. The operator finds the dog underneath the seventh car of his eighth car train because he could not stop in time. And more than an hour later, after power was turned off and the transit police had removed the dog, the train resumed its journey. But, two women riding in the front car of a downtown A train differ with that account, saying their train killed the dog. Herman Cohen, vice president of the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, revealed this fact. And Mr. Cohen issued the summonses, each of which carries a maximum penalty. Each of which, I don't know why my intercom just went on, carries a maximum penalty of $1,000 and a year in jail. And one of the women said she overheard the motorman in his cab speaking with transit authority executives. She wrote in a statement given to the Humane Society, "When rounding what felt to be a curve in the tracks, the motorman said, 'There he is,' which immediately brought the response, 'Go ahead, man. We can't hold up service anymore. Go ahead.'" The other woman wrote that she was clearly able to see the dog in the tracks when the train stopped. She said two men then climbed aboard. The train then started to proceed again, picking up speed, during which time I heard the yelping screams of the dog, she wrote. The conflicting accounts will get sorted out in court on April 15th, Mr. Cohen said. Since the incident, which received extensive news coverage, hundreds of irate calls have been received by both the authority and the Humane Society, and the life of the motorman has been threatened. And that is why the authority refused to divulge his name. How they can threaten him if they don't know his name, but within the Mr. Cohen tried to place the matter into perspective. Within the last 24 hours, two human beings have been killed by subway trains, he said. We ought to be thinking about humans, too. Of course, I'm sure we would be thinking about them a lot more if they were run over deliberately. Okay. You can't hear me in the studio, huh? Well, someone has to fix that, don't they? We have qualified engineers around here. Someone can figure it out, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, find someone that's qualified. I don't know. I'm doing a radio show. I can't fix that. Okay. We have several features we're going to be getting to today. We've gotten the international news out of the way, the various subway stories and other things like that. And we're going to be going to phone calls at 632-6901. But first... Oh, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. First, we're going to give a reminder for the Radiothon. Radiothon is coming up. You know that? Radiothon, our annual fundraiser here at WUSB to keep our signal strong, to raise money for the transmitter move, and to just keep us from sliding into mediocrity and broken equipment and all that. That's coming up starting on Thursday, starting this Thursday, and running until a week from next Saturday, or 2 weeks from tonight. That means we won't be on for another 3 weeks. So, actually, another... Well, yeah, 3 weeks from tonight is when we'll be on next. But we have all kinds of special programs coming your way. We'll run down them in a few minutes. And we have a special feature we're going to be getting to in just a moment or two. But first, this promotional announcement.
Today, there are a myriad of factors which cause stress on our bodies. These include physical, chemical, environmental, and emotional factors, to name a few. The Natural Alternative segment on the WUSB Radiothon is coming to you on Thursday, March 21st at 2 p.m. to teach you about how you can handle stress in your life. We will be discussing stress and its effects on your health with our guest, Dr. Serafina Corsello, a renowned complementary physician with a deep and profound understanding about the physiology of stress and how to handle it. So tune in to the WUSB Radiothon on Thursday, March 21st at 2 p.m. and become a less stressed out listener.
Okay, that's coming up on Thursday, first day of the Radiothon, and we're going to be talking about Radiothon, the future of the radio station and all that, but before we do that, something of dramatic nature. The ultimate question that we all ask ourselves at least once a day. And that question being, what's for lunch?
Good morning. Today, Friday, March 15th, at all cafeterias for lunch, egg drop soup, fish and chips, chicken a la king, and the hot deli menu is a bacon, lettuce, and tomato. Dinner at Kelly is pork kebabs, chicken marsala, seafood, Newburg. Dinner at H is tuna noodle casserole, Salisbury steak, and pizza. Dinner at Roth is chicken pot pie, eggplant, and baked cod garden style. Fanny Bryce Food Mall is open for lunch and dinner, serving Italian, Mexican, Chinese, and American favorites. On Sunday, they'll be celebrating St. Patty's Day at all cafeterias. Have a nice weekend. Talk to you on Monday.
Oh, boy. Pork kebabs again, huh? Fish and chips. Now, someone has brought to us, brought to our attention, what might be considered a bootleg tape. Now, I don't understand the source of this. It was found in the brain damage mailbox, unlabeled, just sitting there. It's a blank, mysterious-looking cassette, and we threw it into the recorder over there, and what do you think we found? No, we didn't find that. This shouldn't be happening. Hold on. Something else just broke. Okay. It's over there. We found what will one day be on the What's for Lunch outtake album. I don't know where this came from or how it was obtained, but it's something that I think if you have a tape recorder, you've got to get out now because this is a once-in-a-lifetime event. Here we go.
Thursday, March 14th at all. I don't believe it.
This extension is not accepting messages.
Concludes that feature for today. Okay. Well, we're here at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, here for brain damage. And those of you that were planning on attending our benefit show tomorrow, well, you better make other plans. Unfortunately, history has repeated itself. What happened last time we tried this on February 16th, the show was canceled by the university. The same thing has happened again. They gave us 3 days' notice this time and told us that we were not allowed to have the concert, this being a hardcore show. And what's more, we probably would not ever be allowed to have a concert in the Student Union building at the State University at Stony Brook. This move has prompted outrage on behalf of people on campus, people off campus, and we have two groups of people here now, one representing off-campus people, one representing on-campus people. And, one moment. See, Tony, if you throw that switch underneath the on-air sign there, that will defeat that particular mechanical switch. But, okay. Sorry about that, folks. We have been deluged with calls from people, and there's even a petition being passed around. I believe they brought that up here, too. People that are outraged by the decision. Now, what exactly was this decision? We were told, and this, I believe, was on Wednesday afternoon, that the only way that there could be a concert on campus would be if it took place in the auditorium of the Student Union building. And if no community people were allowed to attend unless they were specific guests of university people. Now, the shows that we have had, the hardcore shows, have generally attracted people from high schools, local high schools around the area. I should add, there has never been a problem with our shows. There has never been so much as a raised voice. And needless to say, never a fight, none of those problems that you see at some other shows. And a lot of people are very angry, upset, disappointed, outraged, you name it. Now, today, on campus, there was an event called Community Day. Community Day was a way for the university to reach out to the community and have all kinds of events. I wasn't there, but I've heard from people that that there were petitions passed around there as well. Does anybody have the actual petition? I'd like to just read that part. Okay. And then we'll get to some of the people that have shown up here tonight. Petition against Fred Preston's concert policy. Now, I should point out that Fred Preston is here at the university, the vice president for student affairs, is in charge of anything going on that involves students. Ultimately, the person at the top of the totem pole. All right, the petition says, I understand that Fred Preston, Vice President for Student Affairs at USB, and I guess I should say that USB does not mean the radio station, it means the university at Stony Brook, has implemented a policy that prohibits students and off-campus patrons from utilizing the Student Union Building for concerts. I understand that this policy imposes stringent new rules that affect the entire community. I understand that this decision was drafted and implemented without adequate consultation with students or off-campus patrons. I understand that WUSB is suffering a substantial monetary loss as a direct result of this policy. As a member of the community, I find it hypocritical and insulting that the university has sponsored Community Partnership Day in the wake of such and his concert policy, and that all future policies concerning the student union and use thereof allow for direct input from students and off-campus patrons. Now, let's introduce some of the people here. First, the people from on campus. Let's hope all this technical equipment works. Why don't you all introduce yourself? Yes.
This is Lily Ang.
Okay, and you are?
Lily Ang.
Okay, but do you have a particular position, or are you a student here?
I'm a student here at Stony Brook.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And how are you involved in all this?
Well, I'm the one that started the petition.
So really?
Yeah.
And what kind of response did you get? Where's this petition
passed along neighboring towns, Smithtown, Setauket, Port Jeff. And most people disagree with it because the people who go to the concerts are not students.
Uh-huh.
And definitely if they're prohibited from entering the campus without being a guest, then for sure WUSB will lose serious amounts of money. And
well, now, people might be confused as to why we're saying that WUSB. This concert that we're talking about in particular was a benefit concert for WUSB. We have been planning, I believe, 4 of those concerts this semester and hopefully 4 next semester, and we raise about $1,000 per concert. So we are talking a loss of about $8,000 of money that we're not going to get now, and that's, of course, that makes the upcoming Radiothon a lot more important than it was a week ago, because we have to make that up or we are going to have severe problems here at the radio station. So please keep that in mind as well. But this policy extends beyond that. It extends beyond WUSB. It extends to every student on campus. It's going to affect them in some way. It's also going to affect a lot of the people around the campus. What is the general view on campus? What do students feel about this? Do they see any harm in not allowing people from off campus onto the campus anymore?
Well, in essence, it's isolating the campus. I mean, the hardcore concerts have never had any violence in the past. So why should why and they're the ones who are being the most affected and hurt, and it will not achieve much.
Uh huh. Have you gotten feedback from students? Are students signing the petition as well?
A few. I mean, 90% of the signers of the petition have been off-campus and non-students. However, most of them have, the ones that I've come in contact with. It's a very recent petition.
Now, this policy, as you understand it, what does it prevent? It prevents concerts from taking place in various parts of the union building. It also affects concerts that will take place in the gym.
Well, the union, it'd be prohibiting pop concerts. I mean, concerts that students will want to go to. So,
mm-hmm.
So how are you going to attract an audience for students who are not going to want to come?
How is it going to prevent those kind of concerts? What you mean? You won't be able to have a dance concert, for instance.
No. The general question would be, what's the union there for? Is it for students? And no, with this new policy, it won't be for students.
Mm-hmm. And part of what I've heard from students is that they had very little consultation, if any consultation,
Definitely.
On this. Have there been meetings with Fred Preston on this issue?
No
meetings at all?
As far as I'm concerned, two students have been consulted. Dan Zlepian, the president of Polity, and Levine, Scott Levine.
Polity being the student government here on the campus. Okay, now I should point out that this is not a campus issue, obviously, because this is something involving the campus and community. It's, in effect, the campus saying that the community is the problem. You know, that's how I interpret this, that the community is something that should be kept off the campus. And it's kind of ironic that there was Community Day today where the community was invited. Also, I'm sure, probably not this late, but at some point tonight there was some kind of a concert in the Fine Arts Center which involved lots of people from the community. What is the difference between the people of the community who go to the Fine Arts Center concerts, the classical concerts, and the people of the community that go to the other concerts? Do you see a difference?
No, not really. They're two different types of music, yeah. But generally, two different types of people enjoying their respective types of music. And if nothing's going wrong, I don't see why the fine arts is being totally unaffected by this policy, as opposed to the concerts that are being held at the union.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go into the other studio for a moment and see who is in there. We have some people that that actually are a part of the crowd that would have gone to the show tomorrow, and I'm getting all kinds of strange symbols from people in there. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to just turn the switch on and see what happens, okay? Is anybody in there? No, they can't hear me. Okay.
What's it through the mixer?
Sorry? Yes, I have it through the mixer.
Okay, which means all boards now should be piled over to the other side.
Hold on. Let me turn this thing down. Can you hear me now? Okay, they can hear me now. Why don't you say something? Can you say anything? The mixer is off. No wonder. Okay, hold on a moment, folks, while we turn everything back on. Are there people in there? Okay, I'm hearing a voice. Somebody say something. Ah, there's my voice.
We are.
Okay, now who do we have here?
This is John.
John. Okay, John, I don't know if your mic is plugged in, but...
Should be.
No, I hear him in the background.
Okay, now you probably don't hear me at all because someone has to wear headphones. Someone's going to have to wear headphones in there because that's the way this place is wired. And unfortunately, there's only one pair there. So, okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, now unfortunately, your microphone does not seem to be working. I don't know why that is, but his microphone is not working.
Mine?
Yeah. Put the rest of them on the mixer. Hold on, say something now.
Yeah, my
own. I got him. Oh, boy. Yeah, he's there now. Okay. Sorry about all that. No. Tell him not to do what he's about to do.
He said don't do what you're about to do.
We fixed the problem. Everything's fine, Tony. You can go away.
But nobody can hear anybody.
Okay, that's the problem. Nobody
fingers.
Can
hear.
Okay. You can switch that little switch. No. Hold on. Tony, there is a switch. Yeah, I know, but you're not supposed to know. There's a switch by the on-air light. You see the on-air light? Follow that little wire down, that little conduit, and at the very bottom you'll find a switch. Throw that switch, and that will solve all your problems. You didn't throw it. This is what non-commercial radio is all about, I think. Okay, did you throw the switch? It has been thrown. Okay, now our problems are solved. John.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing? Sorry about all this. Okay, now you would have gone to the concert tomorrow, and
yeah.
You've been to the concerts before. First of all, why don't you describe what the concerts are like that we've had?
They're a ball, man. They're like the totalest. They're like the coolest thing. It's great. People come from like everywhere. A lot of like the young kids, you know, little skater kids who come, you know, are too young to get into Sundance, and you know, they come and they see all their friends and they see the bands and everyone dance. It's a really good scene. I've never seen any kind of violent outbreak or anything go on. Everyone pretty much gets along. And now this, you know, I don't know what to think, you know.
I imagine you've talked to a lot of people since this happened. What's the general mood?
Well, people are very upset, you know. People pretty much feel the same way that, you know, that we feel about it, but people are too lazy to really, you know, get off their ass and do something about it, excuse me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a lot easier to sit back and say, okay, you know, accept that there's not going to be any more shows than it is to, you know, play a major part in maybe changing something, if it's possible that something can be changed. You know, maybe it's too late. You know, I heard that the guy Steve, who's setting up the shows, says that he's not going to work with USB anymore, setting up any more shows. He's just tired of it. And I can understand that, why you can get so frustrated with it. You know, second time the show has been canceled, And you know, why is that? Because something happened at some rap concert. I don't know.
We should also point out that there was a particular case where at one point we were told that the only way we could have concerts would be if we got a bunch of people at the radio station to take a course and become part of the security team.
Well, they don't want the kids to slam dance anymore, right?
Well, that's another thing. I'll get to that in a moment. But this is they wanted us to become trained so that we could be our own security team, and that was fine. You know, we were willing to work with them in all different ways, and we went to an extraordinary amount of hassle to do this, filling out all kinds of forms, swearing to all kinds of things, and getting a lot of people together to actually have this course. I believe 22 USB staffers showed up yesterday, and the university police here on campus never even showed up. They were supposed to give a course, and they never even had the decency to call us and tell us that they weren't going to show up. They just didn't show up. And it's just so typical of the way things have been happening at this university recently. I don't know if it's ineptitude or if it's just plain hostility, but it's something that that has got a lot of people here very upset. And again, I should point out, because the radio station does not take a particular view on anything, and one person, one show does not give the opinion of the radio station. But I'll tell you, as somebody who has been here for 14 years now, I've never seen such anger at this place. And it's anger directed at a particular entity on campus, and it's not healthy, it should not be happening, and I just wish we would be doing something to fix this. I think dialogue is the first step. But right now it's dialogue literally out into the open. We need two-way dialogue, and so far we've seen no indication that that's going to be happening. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with people like labeling us, you know, with, you know, they think of hardcore and they think of, you know, people slam dancing and they relate it to something that's violent. It's not a violent thing. We're not of a violent nature. That's like a big misunderstanding. And as long as there are labels there, as, you know, someone's already passed a judgment on us that we're something that we're not, you know, then there'll always be a problem. You know, like with the classical music, you know, there's been no problem with any classical music festivals or anything. You know, I doubt there'll ever be something where they want to, you know, suppress them and take away their shows. But, you know, then again, I don't know. But
well, you know, it's interesting because right now, I believe it's sort of ending now, but downstairs in the Student Union building there was this India festival. And it's in the auditorium, and they're having some kind of, you know, show where people are dancing and things like that. And in the middle of it, there was some kind of altercation where somebody, there's, you know, different factions in the Indian world, and there was some kind of, you know, argument and shoving or something like that going on. I didn't exactly see it, but security was called. And one has to wonder, you know, this is something that took place on campus, was pretty much all students, although there were a lot of off-campus people as well. Now, is that going to be threatened now because of one incident? And if it's not going to be threatened, why not? I mean, why is it that an event that that has never had a problem is not allowed to take place anymore? Why is it that every student on campus and everybody interested in going to a concert from off campus is inconvenienced, but another event which is looked upon as being a campus event, which has just as much of a problem, if not more of a problem, than any other event that we're talking about, that's allowed to proceed without any hassles? It's hard to understand exactly what. Now, John, I'd like you to introduce the people around the table, because we do have a couple other people there. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody can hear me, so if they can introduce themselves.
This is Max over here, okay. And this is Muro over
What's
here.
What's up?
If you could say where you're from, that would be helpful.
Max is from, where are you from, Max?
Northport. Okay. And
Muro's from?
I'm from East Northport.
East Northport. Okay, and you've been to these shows before, I imagine.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, can you describe what slam dancing is? Because that's something that's been getting a lot of negative feedback from people in the administration. Explain what that
is. Expression. It's an art. It's dancing like anything else. It's just a little bit rougher. You know, I go to all the shows and I always fall down in the pit and I always get picked back up. I've never been trampled on by anybody. It's not like, you know, a violent thing. It's just a lot of people just dancing around having a good time.
Can you describe, for someone that's never slam danced before, what exactly happens?
It's just freedom. It's just bouncing around and bumping off of people and just, you know, being rowdy without being violent. Little friendly, violent fun. I don't know what to call it. It's not brutal. It's just, you know, it's physical. It's very physical. It's a lot of bumping involved and swinging and, you know, kicking around and just dancing around and being free.
Now, why is it people don't get hurt?
Because no one's out to hurt anybody, basically. Everyone's just out to dance and just have a good time, you know. So no one really wants to hurt anybody, even though, you know, you're bouncing off people kind of hard. You're not really aiming to really hurt anybody. So, you know, it's like if you fall down, people, you know, pick you back up the minute you hit the floor.
And everybody who is in that particular section is there on their own accord, and people who don't want to slam dance aren't forced to.
Yeah, people, if you don't want to slam, you just stand to the side. You know, you're not forced to, you know. You're not, like, threatened at any time. We have to use violence to protect yourself. It's not about that. That's why I wish Norm Preston would just... Not Norm Preston, Fred Preston. Norm's a different story. Norm's a good guy. I like Norm. But I think Fred or these people from administration should go to a show and, you know, see what it's really about. Maybe then, you know, they'll realize that, you know, we're not as bad as what people like them have made us out to be.
Well, you know, they were invited. In fact, now that I mention it... I believe we had invited them to show up at the show tomorrow because they were having a big meeting in this building tomorrow. I wonder if they're still having that big meeting. I guess they are. So that's something interesting. Yes. Now, as far as the on-campus people go, you've heard from some of the people off-campus now. Is there any hostility on campus towards the kids that come from off-campus?
No, not really. I mean, the last incident with the Minority Planning Board's special ed, that was about it. But
can you describe what happened? People.
People were injured. You know, there was actually bullets and, you know, guns, and people. The security was injured. There was a mass riot in a nutshell.
Uh-huh.
But as
What was that show like? How did it differ from these shows?
I mean, it's a rap concert. I mean, I don't want to label anything, but it's different. The crowd is different from the hardcore crowd. And, uh-huh. You know, in the past, there has been no violence in the past for hardcore concerts.
Would you consider a ban on rap concerts?
Oh, no, no. You know, I don't know. As far as I know, I mean, nothing. The performer never showed up for special ed.
Uh-huh.
So that's something else. And so... There people were waiting, and it was hot and really, really crowded, probably overcrowded. And that caused, you know, minor scuffles, and they blew up into a huge riot.
Uh-huh.
But I don't understand why something, you know, because the hardcore concerts never suffered or never had any violence, why they should be the one that suffers the most.
Uh-huh.
And that's the bottom line. And Fred Preston, I don't think he obviously doesn't understand that.
Well, you know, I think as far as why something is suffering the most, I think the people that suffer the most are the people that are the most powerless, the people that can speak out the least.
Exactly.
And when you're talking about high school kids that don't even go here, you know, there's obviously going to be very little tolerance for anything they have to say. So it's a sad situation because, you know, in elementary school, the teacher would always say, it just takes one bad person to ruin it for everybody. Well, you know, it's sort of what seems to be being said here, but it really doesn't make much sense because... I can't see how it's going to help the situation. The university is just going to wind up looking rather hostile towards the community, and you know, something has to be done. Obviously, something has to be done publicly. When you have bullets being fired at a concert, some kind of a step has to be taken to assure the community and the campus that steps are being taken. Now, what do you think would be a more constructive step to take? If you were Fred Preston, what would you have done?
I really think he should have consulted students and heard students. I mean, we are the college. And, you know, going ahead doing something like that is showing totally lack of respect for us. And we're here. They're there because of us. And you know, I'm not sure if I'm quoting him correctly, but he had said he would do this in emergencies. However, this wasn't an emergency. It was a totally last-minute thing. Let's do it. Without consulting anybody, and mm-hmm. that's really not fair to us as students or the community,
mm-hmm.
who are major patrons of the concerts as it is.
It's also interesting that the WUSB concert had been scheduled, announced, publicized. Everybody knew it was going to be happening. Yet 3 days before it's to take place, this announcement is made, and we're screwed again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've lost a lot of money, a lot of time, and of course we're not going to be raising much in the way of funds as a result of not having the fundraiser. So it's it hurts us particularly, but it hurts everybody.
Probably security. Security should be increased. But banning concerts won't do much.
Let's go back to the folks off campus. You guys have any comments on that?
No. Yeah, I can agree with everything that you're saying, basically. But, you know, people off campus feel the same thing, but, you know, it's a privilege for us to be there. You know, we're very grateful to have the shows, you know, and it's when it's taken away, it's just like, you know, we don't take it for granted. You know, neither do the bands. Are they making any money off of it? You know,
that's something else we should have pointed out much earlier is the fact that these bands travel. Last time we had a band come all the way up from Delaware, and they didn't want to be paid anything. They just wanted to do something for the radio station, and of course they came all the way up here for nothing because at the last minute the show was canceled. A lot of people have put time, effort, and goodwill into something like this, and it's sad to see it turn out this way because it just leaves a bitter taste in everyone's mouth. And I hate to think what the future is going to hold because there's so much hostility now and so little dialogue. Yeah. So now, have you folks been passing around a petition too, to high school students?
Have.
I see. Now, how kind of response are you getting?
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. We've got a couple of people like signing it every now and then.
Okay. Let me just ask one last question. How old are you folks? Give an idea here.
I'm 16.
14. No, I'm 13.
16, 14, and 13. Well, you guys are a real threat to the college campus, I guess, huh?
Yeah, that's just like something I want to say. It's just like, you know, the shows with, like, you know, the kids like this. So you have, like, you know, kids who are, like, 13, 14. You know, they're too young to, you know, to get into Sundance or something to see, like, their favorite band or something. Or, you know, a band they want to see. So they come to Stony Brook and, you know, they see a band like, you know, Norman Bates and the Showerheads or, you know, Seizure or Sick of It All is playing, you know. So, yeah, that's where the kids go. You know, they see their friends. That's the scene for them, you know. I mean, you take it away. It's, you know, it really hurts them, too, you know, because they play a major part for them. It's a movement, you know. It's not just the music. The music reflects the whole attitude and the concept of what they're about. And when you take it away, it's just, you know, hurts the kids, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's certainly true. I want to thank you guys for coming by, and hope that one day we'll have a chance to actually finish some of the plans that we make. I imagine quite a few people are still going to show up tomorrow because we haven't been successful getting the word out. But if you were planning to come by tomorrow, there's not going to be a show, so it wouldn't make much sense. And at this stage, we can't say that there really is going to be a show anytime in the future. If there is anybody out there somehow that can give us an idea of how we could perform a show off campus, we'd certainly like to check that out, something that a lot of people could attend. We've never had problems with any of these kids showing up at these concerts. So if anyone is interested in that, please call us and fill us in, because we'd eliminate all the hassles and we'd be able to actually get our fundraisers underway without all this garbage. Of course, it wouldn't solve the problem for... whoever's answering the phone should stop answering the phone. I mean, I've been through this enough times. Okay, we have someone else who wants to say something in there, but can you find whoever is answering the phone and kill them? Thank you, because they're really not supposed to do that. Let's go back to the other room. Yes?
Yeah, I think that first person should take his pencil, push an ass to one of those shows and see what hardcore is really about. Maybe he'd see... Then maybe he should see that we're not what people like him have made us out to be.
Okay, all right. Comment from Lily.
I just have one suggestion. Mr. Preston, if you are listening, I think it would be really great if you just had some type of open forum concerning the concert policy and, you know, listen to us, listen to the students, and, you know, maybe we can reach some type of consensus or some compromise. Other, you know, without consulting us really pisses me off, and I'm sure it pisses a lot of other people off.
Well, to have a policy where the students have no say is got to be demeaning. I mean, when I went here, I just can't imagine that being taken lightly. What a student leader! Have student leaders said anything?
They were unaware of it. I mean, he passed a new concert a concert policy, new student concert requirements, and, you know, without consulting.
Would you like to read that to us?
I mean, there are a whole bunch of things. Specifically the campus facilities for I mean, most of all the large concerts would be at the sports complex, and the majority of these hardcore would never attract the crowd
mm-hmm.
for the sports complex. So that, you know, that in essence already, cancels those concerts out. And fine, Living Color play there, but Living Color is a big band. Other, you know, colleges, you know, are for smaller bands, and, you know.
Well, you know, that's one thing that struck me. Before this latest decree was issued, there was some kind of regulation saying that there had to be all kinds of references given for every band that played on campus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was wondering, for a hardcore show specifically, where these are bands that aren't exactly household words, how can you even have somebody play maybe for the first time if you require that they have all these references of places they've played before? It seems that a college campus should be a place where people can hear alternative music and a place where people can see new bands. If you only allow bands that have played colleges before, you know, and are mainstream bands, then you're depriving the students here of a lot, and you're depriving the community here of a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with you. It almost seems like it's as his presence specifically aiming, his vengeance or something at hardcore music and other alternative music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guideline here says that the SB Union Ballroom shall not be available for use to stage pop concerts. However, in addition to typical student life events, a ballroom will be utilized for dances with DJs and or dancing music. Excludes concert bands featuring artists. I mean, what is that? I don't know. What? Sit down and watch and dance? That's not a concert. And it's ludicrous. It's pointless. I don't see it.
So only one room in this building can be used for concerts, and that room is one where you can barely move.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's that explains that pretty well. Okay, now I believe there's another comment inside. Let's see if I can actually do this. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say that, like, I think that they shouldn't have that one small room for concerts. I mean, they should have one big room with us. People can people can slam dance or mosh and like stage dive and everything, so they have room to move around. And I mean, I just think that really sucks.
Okay, let's take a couple of phone calls and see what people out there have to say. Our number is 632-6901. Good evening.
Hi, Eric.
How you doing?
My name is Jason. I'm a big fan of hardcore. I've seen a lot of shows at Stony Brook, and I don't know if the administrators realize what a vital asset Stony Brook is for the hardcore scene on Long Island. I mean, a few of your guests in the studio mentioned Sundance. Well, Sundance is a horrible place to have a concert. I mean, you always book skinhead bands with skater bands, with hardcore bands. There's always a fight or whatever. And the hardcore scene is a very peaceful scene, as everyone there mentioned. And again, I mean, it's been going on for the last couple of months. I mean, you know, with the Bug Out Society, when the show was originally canceled, now it's being canceled again. And stuff like that. I mean, it's as you said, it's apparent the administration has something against the hardcore scene, and I just think it's a matter of understanding the hardcore scene. And of course, the first thing you have to set up is dialogue and show the administration that this is what's going on. I'm not on campus, I'm off campus.
Well, you know, I don't know so much if it's the administration having something against hardcore. I think it's that they don't have anything for it, hardcore. They you know, have no knowledge of what hardcore is, and it's a cultural thing. It's a cultural thing where you say that these people are slam dancing and slam dancing is wrong. It's like saying break dancing is wrong. It's like saying rap music is wrong. It's like saying rock and roll is wrong. And that is wrong. I mean, labeling is what we're here to prevent. What we're seeing is more labeling, and it has to be recognized as such. I'm sure if people in administration saw and understood what hardcore was, and you don't have to be a certain age to understand it. You really don't. You don't have to be a certain age, race, religion, or anything like that. You just have to be a little bit open-minded, and I'm sure there are people in administration that are open-minded. They just have to have enough guts to actually stand up and approach something from a non-predictable point of view, because this is what, you know, you expect administration people to do. You expect administration people to want to shut down student events and always watching over student shoulders to make sure they don't have any fun. And that's something that, I would hope that the administration here would be intelligent enough to break away from.
Is this going to affect all shows at Stony Brook, including ones that aren't specific benefits for for the year.
Oh, yes. It's going to affect every concert on campus, and from what I've heard, it's going to severely limit every concert on campus in the future.
Would that include, like, larger productions, like something in the athletic facilities?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Of course. Because anything involving students could involve people from off campus as well. And the message here, the overriding message that we're getting is that people from off campus should be kept off campus.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Especially,
so what this seems to be is that the administration of the university wants to close the campus. And again, you said with the earlier with the, I mean, that's very ironic how today's the big community day and they have that paper airplane thing or whatever I read about.
Well, you see, it's open to the community, but only to the right members of the community, namely the people with the checkbooks and the people that, you know, that are of a certain age. But, you know, that's hypocritical, and it's insulting to the entire university because we're so much better than that. We've got so much to offer on all we've got Caribbean Day, okay? Caribbean Day is something that happens once a year here, and people from all over come and enjoy different kinds of food and dancing and music. And to say that we don't want anybody from off campus to partake in that, that's not right. That's not what this place is all about. The same thing goes for other concerts, for things like Fall Fest, which happens once a year. You know, if you have a problem with a fight or violence of any kind, you deal with it. You solve the problem. You address the specific issues. But you don't go making policies that don't have anything to do with the actual problem. That's how I feel about this situation. Thanks very much for calling. Let's see who else is on the line. Good evening.
No, is this Eric Corley?
Yes.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
How can you not play Irish music up there on that campus you have there?
Actually, you're wrong. We do play Irish music every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. In fact, you are lucky because next Saturday morning we have a special radiothon version, and it will go for 2 hours starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. So get some sleep and get ready for that. Good evening.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Pretty good.
What's on your mind?
I'd far say hardcore rules, man.
Hardcore rules.
Yeah, they shouldn't have canceled the show Sunday. It's mind over matter.
Well, how are you making yourself heard besides calling up the radio station? Are you talking to friends of yours?
Yeah, I'm very pissed off.
Uh-huh.
I think it stinks, man. I was really excited for the show, and then they canceled it.
Has your view of the university changed as a result of this?
Yeah, I think it sucks.
Well, that's sad to hear, but I guess it's somewhat accurate now.
Why are they doing this?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out, and we'd sure like to have some dialogue both ways so that we could figure it out and solve these problems that exist.
Yeah, man, because hardcore just rules, man.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting us know. 632-6901, is that call from me? Does anybody know? Well, it's only one way to find out.
What's happened?
No, I guess not. Okay. All right, 632-6901. We have open lines, so feel free to call in. Do we have some comment in there? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Francis.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Barely. I don't think your mic is on.
All right, well, yeah.
Try the other one.
I just want to get back to...
Try the other one.
Is it the one that's really...
I think there's only one mic plugged in, actually.
Well, that's pretty bizarre.
We'll get to the phones in a second.
All right. As a WUSB staff member and a non-student here at Stony Brook, I want to get back to the point you made about Community Day. And, you know, it's kind of strange how they'll allow the entire community to come to Stony Brook and view what we have here on campus. But they won't allow a simple concert that provokes nonviolence and the release of stress energy simply because they don't approve of it. And yet they'll have a million people from the community to come over and view Stony Brook. It's illogical, and it's quite a contradiction, I think.
Well, why do you think it happens? Why do you think it is?
I really don't know. I mean, there's really no answer to it. I don't know what Mr. Preston is thinking in his head. You know, I don't know what the administration thinks. All I know is that because of one concert, USB is being screwed royally in all directions, and it's really unfair. And if Mr. Preston is listening, he should really take note of what we're trying to do here at USB. We're trying to serve the community and give the kids a show, and, you know, that's all. We're not provoking violence or, I mean, none of these kids, I've never seen a kid at any of these shows bring in a gun or a knife. You know, it's beyond my thinking. I don't understand what he's doing.
Do you, let me ask Lily a question here. Do you think that what has happened here with this particular policy being handed down, is this an isolated instance, or does it represent what most of administration thinks? And do you have any indications of, say, other members of administration that have come out against having community people on campus, having concerts on campus, or is this maybe just Fred Preston's idea?
As far as I know, I think it's Fred Preston and, uh-huh. and, you know, his staff, or, but he's in charge. I really wouldn't know if other people were involved.
Okay. Let's go back to the phone. 632-6901. Good evening.
Yo, how you doing down there?
Oh, we're doing okay.
Is this Eric?
Yes, it is.
How you doing, Eric?
All right.
Yo, how's the Raz doing?
Raz is, well, I haven't heard from Raz, actually, but I haven't heard any headlines either, so I think he's okay.
You guys having another metal show?
Is
Power Surge, man?
There's, Hal does a metal show, but I don't know when it's on. It's on some, I know when it's on. It's on Wednesday right after Turmoil at 12:30, Wednesday mornings.
Tell me, is it
actually,
real?
Thursday
is it
mornings.
The Power Surge?
Well, I can't comment on something like that, obviously, because I'd be in serious trouble if I did.
Yo, Bo, wrestling rules, man.
Okay, thanks for calling. Good evening.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I just want to say hi to Aaron and Kathy.
Okay.
Love you guys.
Did you have anything else to say? I guess not. 632-6901. Let's have some people call that have something to say for a change. It would be nice. I'm sorry, was there some other thing in there that you guys wanted to say?
Yeah, I was
go
just
ahead.
Saying, like, going back to the whole judgmental aspects of this policy, I was, what do you call it? Miro next to me was, like, approached by some, like, born-again Christian guy today when he was, like, signing, handing out petitions, trying to get some more signatures, and this, like, Jesus freak approached him and, like, told him that, like, slamming is wrong and, like, what you're doing is promoting violence and the whole concept of it is just to hurt people. And he picked up this funny old flyer, says, if we never meet again, and then you open it up and it says all this, the bogus word of, well, I don't know, I don't want to call the word of God bogus, I just think the people who preach it is bogus.
Now, you could wind up in serious trouble if someday if you did that, but
the thing is,
you know, this is a campus, where we have people of all faiths, all beliefs, and, you know, the amazing thing about it is we don't get in each other's way, we respect each other, and you can walk through this building, well, you can't now, but you could walk through this building any day and see all kinds of events happening in all different places, concerts, costume shows, lectures, Christian fellowship, India Hour people, and all kinds of different events happening at the same time. And in only the smallest minority of cases where there have ever been any problems, and that's how I think the problem should be dealt with. You know, you deal with one particular thing that happens and you solve it. You know, you figure out what went wrong, you make sure that never happens again. To just have a blanket ban, I mean, look at all the hostility that exists now. Look at all the things, the nasty things being said about the administration that weren't being said a week ago. Look at how people feel off campus and on campus. And it doesn't take much to realize that a mistake has been made. We'll be right back.
Red, my memory, never able to forget.
Yes, sir. We're dreadfully sorry, but the tripods were delayed, and we understand that quite a few people are now outside demanding that they be put on. We're going to get to them in just a moment, today's episode of The Tripods. We're sorry. And then back to the telephone calls, 632-6901. Keep those calls coming in. And remember, Radiothon starts on Thursday. We need your help. Radio Free Long Island, in solicitation with the Three Villains Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we left Kathy and Howard last week on their boat to France, the mysterious stranger threatened to wreck their marriage. Now as we look in on them, we hear...
All right, Kathy, let's just drop it. I know some pretty crazy things have been happening in the last few weeks. Let's just write off this mysterious stranger as another unexplained event.
Yes, yes. There's no point in letting this thing ruin our entire trip after all. Oh, we're supposed to be enjoying ourselves, aren't we?
That's right. You know, everybody back home is probably thinking about all the fun we should be having right now.
Mm.
It's kind of funny when you
think. Yeah, isn't it? So we just walk into another crazy situation.
That's right.
And they don't know anything about it.
That's right. Unless it was somebody back home who put someone up to all this.
Oh, no. Howard, you don't honestly think... Oh, it couldn't be.
I don't know, Kathy. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, I believe you when you say you never saw this person before. But still... He definitely knows who you are, and not only that, he must have found out who you were within the last 10 or so years since he called you Kathy Tripod.
Oh, yes, yeah, that sounds reasonable. But, how could you believe that anybody we know would pull a trick on us like that? I mean, nobody in either one of our families is a real mischief maker. I mean, none of our friends either, right?
Well, let's just, think about...
Would our friend Charlie pull a trick like that on us? Now, ever since we moved to Long Island, he's gone out of his way to help us out. He's one of the very best neighbors that folks like us could ever have.
Right. Well, yeah, I know all of that. It's obvious that Charlie's not the one who's responsible.
Well, what about Pop? Oh, would your own father pull a silly prank on you, his only son? Hmm. Well, would he?
I don't know. Pop's always had a kind of bizarre sense of humor. And he does do some pretty silly things now and then.
Oh, come on.
Like the time he punched in some extra holes on our bill from the Big Bear City Electric Company?
Oh, yes, and he sent it in, and he fouled up their computer. It was a riot.
Kathy, there's nothing funny about a $22,000 electric bill, and I almost had to pay it, too.
Yeah, mortgage the house.
To this day, I think that computer has been marked down as a troublemaker.
Hmm. Oh, come on, Howard. You take things too seriously. We cleared that whole thing up months ago.
Right. With the people who work at the electric company, but not with the computer that runs it. And that's what scares me. Anyway, I doubt if Pop has anything to do with the stranger on this boat. That seems too sophisticated for him.
Well, we're running out of culprits. I don't think anybody on my side of the family would be up to this kind of skullduggery.
No.
There aren't that many of them that still keep in touch anyway. Only Uncle Jonathan and... Howard, why are you smiling like that?
Uncle Jonathan... That's it.
What are you talking about?
He's behind all this. I know it. For some reason, Kathy, that man wants to wreck our marriage.
What? Howard, you talk as if you're losing your mind.
I know it seems crazy, Kathy, but look. Remember when he had me go down to Whitney Island to make that film? And he made you think I ran off with that French actress? I don't even remember her name again. What do you remember, Kathy?
Something about a tunnel.
Losing my train of thought.
Bridge.
Bridge over trouble. Brigitte. Le something.
La Roux. La
Roux.
That
almost split us up for good, Kathy.
Oh, it sure did.
Well, why are we laughing? It's because of him that we had to leave Big Bear City. And you know what a strain that put on us.
But what would Uncle Jonathan have to gain by breaking up the Tripod family?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Now, Howard, look! Land! We've arrived in France, see?
What?
It's green, just like on the map.
So it is. My, we're coming in kind of fast, though, aren't we?
Yeah, we must be going about 45 miles an hour. Maybe the captain doesn't know we're here yet.
Look at all those people. See them on the shore? They're waving and pointing over there in the harbor.
Oh, they better get out of the way before...
And so Howard and Kathy arrive in France for the start of their vacation. But is Uncle Jonathan plotting to destroy the tripod marriage? You want to tune in next week when we'll hear Howard say, "Hey, doesn't anybody here speak English?" That's next week on The Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Ding, 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 ding. Attention shoppers! On sale now at aisle 52, electric Kool-Aid, banana peels, postage stamps, electric sugar cubes, and mushroom tea. On sale now at aisle 52.
And shoppers, don't forget, Psychedelic Contestant will be open for a 3-hour Radiothon special. Starting at 8 p.m. on March 28th. So for the best in psychedelic, garage, and space rock, tune in to Psychedelic Contestant, a most bodacious bodega.
Music from Minor Threat, title track out of Step. We're discussing the future of concerts at the State University at Stony Brook and campus community relations, inter-campus relations, the future of WUSB, and anything else. Our number is 632-6901. Give us a call. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to order a large fry.
Okay, what do you want on it?
Eat sardines and pickles, please.
All right. Stand outside and wave a flag, and
hey,
I'll
wait,
be right
not...
there. Good evening.
Jerry, just hang on a sec. Jerry.
Okay, hang on a second.
Jerry,
gotta get Jerry.
Hey, buddy, I'm calling from Tennessee.
Tennessee?
Yeah.
What's the area code in Tennessee?
I've been calling you every week.
Uh-huh.
I've been asking you questions.
Uh-huh.
The next question I'd like to ask is, do you eat cabbage? Or do you eat broccoli?
Do I eat cabbage or I eat broccoli?
Yeah.
What if I say neither?
Neither? Why is that?
Well, Actually, okay, today's St. Pat. Well, tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day, so maybe I'll eat a head of cabbage.
Cabbage, though.
Just to show my support for something.
Hello?
Yeah. Good evening.
Hey, Eric?
Yeah.
Mike.
It's Mike.
Yeah, what's up?
How you doing?
Why was the show canceled?
What? Sorry?
Why was the show canceled?
Why was the show canceled?
Yeah.
Well, those are reasons we're trying to figure out. The show was canceled by administration allegedly because of the problems with the show of, what was it, a month ago?
Special Ed.
Special Ed. And actually, it wasn't just this show that was canceled. It was a new policy that was instituted, and as a result, all shows are either going to be canceled or severely restricted, and pretty much people from off campus are not allowed on campus unless they're the guest of somebody on campus.
Yeah, because... yesterday we were up at the Union, we saw this thing going on, we don't know what it was, but it said only two people can come as a guest or something.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, but then why did they have Living Color? They canceled the bug out site twice.
Well, that's an interesting question, and one that a lot of people have been raising. Why did they have Living Color?
I don't know, you'd figure there'd be more fights probably there, because they had like a hardcore show, like everyone's like more friends who there, you know? But uh-huh. I know we'd go, it's like, I know almost everyone there.
Well, you have Indian food. Boy, can you get more of that? Oh, sorry.
What?
No, they just brought all this Indian food in. Seriously, I'll pay for it. I will.
Oh, you don't have to pay for it. Just
okay. Well, I can't come down. I'm on the air. But maybe someone nice will go down for me and bring it up. There's a couple of things regarding the that particular concert.
Yeah.
There was a lot of money involved, obviously.
Well, yeah. The place I was there, it sucked anyway.
Well, that's beside the point. A lot of money was involved in this concert, megabucks.
Yeah.
So if you believe in conspiracy, who knows?
Yeah.
But also, technically, there was a grace period where administration was deciding what the policy was going to be, and it was during that grace period that the concert was held. However, it was also during that grace period that we made plans to reschedule the USB benefit, and seemed if there a new policy was going to be announced, it should have been announced. They could have waited 3 days to announce the policy. There's no other concert scheduled, as far as I know. So we're the only people that were affected by that, and that's terribly upsetting.
Yeah. I wanted to see you bug us so bad.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say as far as how to... there's a couple of things, you know. First of all, you should always make sure that you let your feelings be known to whoever, to people on campus and off campus.
I'm not doing that with my friends, because I know my other friend, my friend Steve, met the bassist.
Uh-huh.
At I think, Yuppie Side.
Uh-huh.
And he said you had to go try to get a show there. And
see,
I was like, oh, site.
This is something...
A compilation.
But this is something, you see, that you're going to encounter throughout life. You're going to encounter people who are going to categorize you in a certain way and categorize you unfairly. At the same token, you're also going to encounter people who are your friends who categorize other people in an unfair light.
Yeah, like Guidos.
Exactly. You're going to have to be able to determine when that is happening, and you're going to have to be able to counter that with logic. You know, you don't counter that with more hatred and with more bitterness. You counter that by being logical, by being patient, and eventually, hopefully, the truth will win out in the end.
I'm getting more like that now. It's like normally, you know what I'm saying? So,
uh-huh. Well, yeah, you know, it's the same thing with me, too. People are saying, you know, Eric, what's wrong with you? You don't sound angry. The thing is, you know, I wonder. You know, I am angry inside, but maybe I'm just becoming resigned to this kind of thing, or maybe I'm realizing that, getting loud and abrasive doesn't really accomplish anything, that it's being reasonable and logical, that eventually wins out and, you know, speaks louder.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go.
All right, thanks for calling.
Hey, I just want to say hi to my girlfriend, Colleen.
Okay, well, you should be with her, but I guess this is good enough.
Okay.
All right. Okay. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hey, this is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
I want to talk about the Living Color concert.
Okay.
I went there, and I didn't even go to see Living Color. I went to see Urban Dance Squad, and we waited outside for like 45 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And Urban Dance Squad was practically done before they even let us in.
That's horrible.
Yeah, that because of their new... concert policy.
Their new concert policy states that they don't let anybody in until the opening act is finished?
Well, I mean, you know, because they had, like, beefed up security. They had a metal detector, and we had to, like, give our keys and all metal objects, like, to some lady, and she passed it around. We had to go through the metal detector.
But if they're going to do that, why won't they stop the concert until you guys are in?
I don't know. We were, like, the line was, like, a half a mile long.
Uh-huh.
And it was freezing outside, and, like, we passed by, like, you know, like, the line moved really slow, and we were, like, towards the start of the gym, and we could hear them playing, and we thought it was like, you know, a sound check or something. And we got in, and like 2 minutes later, Urban Dance Squad was off.
I'll tell you, know, if I were you, I would be demanding a refund because that,
that concert cost more money than I went to the two hardcore shows. They didn't cost, they cost, one cost $4 because one band didn't show up.
Right.
And the other one cost $10. I paid $18.75 for the one ticket to that one concert.
Uh-huh.
And I saw one band I didn't even go to see, and I left early because I was so pissed.
Well, the thing, what I'm saying is, you know, if you feel you've been cheated, and obviously a lot of people do, maybe 100 people demanding a refund will make an impression on somebody. Maybe they'll say, hey, you know, people are not happy and people don't like this kind of treatment. If you don't do anything about it, though, you're just going to keep getting treated like that.
Yeah, making it so hard to, you know, make it so inconvenient to go to a concert is going to hurt, you know, hurts the college. It hurts the, it, you know, benefit college, hurts, benefit a concert, hurts the radio station, and that hurts the college.
Oh, it sure does. I mean, if we were to ask a hardcore band now to do a benefit concert for us, I think word has spread all throughout the globe about Stony Brook. You just have to say Stony Brook, and it evokes laughter now.
Yeah, I told my friends, like, that's so stupid. You know?
That's, yeah, it's really pretty sad. I don't know why I'm laughing, but like I said, you got to be vocal. You got to say what's on your mind, and you can't let yourself be mistreated. But at the same time, stay reasonable, stay logical, and I think things will eventually, who knows how long it will take, but things will eventually be heard.
Yeah, there was never any violence at those two hardcore shows or any concert I went to last year. They were all great concerts, and there was no trouble.
Well, it's a cultural misconception that young kids at a concert are going to be violent.
Yeah,
it's a cultural misconception.
After the concert was canceled, somebody put up the number of the guy who canceled the concert, and some other guy came by and tore it down.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't let anybody call.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, that it, because of the fight, like the week before, or no, it was the night before at the special ed concert.
Right.
Because some two idiots had to ruin everything for everybody, you know. And
that's basically what it boils down to, you know. It's, one or two crazy people do something, and now, you know, now there's panic. Now there's policies being instated that just don't address that issue at all and simply inconvenience everybody else. I mean, you know, you have a fight at a concert, you ask yourself, what happened? You know, why did this fight start? How did people get knives and guns into the concert hall? Why was the concert overcrowded? Why didn't the band show up until, what, 3 hours after they were supposed to? And why was the show unsatisfactory and things like that? And you realize that there were a lot of mistakes made. And you do something about the people that made those mistakes. And you make sure either they never do that kind of thing again or you get new people that will act in a reasonable way. But you don't go penalizing the people that are trying to work with the university. And believe me, the people that organized this particular concert that was going to go on tomorrow worked extremely hard to follow every crazy rule that was made up as a result of this, to take our security course, to take everybody's name at the door. I mean, what kind of crazy policy is that? We actually had to do this, though. We had to take people's names as they came into the concert.
They didn't even need security. The last two concerts, there was no security. There's no problems.
No, there was security. It's just that the security was not, you know, we didn't run into people. But we had plenty of security. We didn't need it, though. We didn't need it, but that does not mean we weren't going to have security at future shows. We had every intention of following all the rules. But, again, at the last minute, doesn't matter. You know, what we say goes, you can't do it, period. And that's just wrong.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for calling.
Okay, thanks.
632-6901. Good evening.
Hi. I got 2 points that I want to make.
Go ahead.
For one, I hope Mr. Preston realizes that, you know, I'm a staff member of USB, and I hope he realizes that we both have the common goals of safety and good publicity that we want as much as he does, and hopefully we can reach some common ground if we both go in with a good attitude wanting to work this thing out instead of, like, you know, us being like, we're just getting screwed, and him saying, well, I don't, you know, I don't care. And the other thing I wanted to say was that that guy before who made the comment about the born-again Christian, I mean, I'm a Christian, and I like hardcore music a lot. I mean, it's about probably half what I play on my show, and I've been to a lot of, this may sound funny, but Christian hardcore concerts, and if he doesn't want people to put his music in a box, and he shouldn't put that religion in a box, because you know, there's all different kinds of Christians too, and I don't think what that guy said to his friend was good at all, because I've slammed plenty of times, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all. And
No, that's a very good point, and that's one thing that we have to... I've caught a couple of people in that argument saying that, well, the problem was with the rap shows, not with the hardcore shows, so you should ban the rap shows. And that's wrong, too. No, you shouldn't ban the rap shows. You should ban the poorly managed groups of people that that are responsible for fights and overcrowding and late starts of shows. You should make sure that doesn't happen, but don't categorize an entire group of music or an entire group of people. That is wrong.
Stupid people come in all races, all religions, and all kinds, and people just got to realize that you can't judge people by any kind of label.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
I have to go because I'm at work.
Get in trouble. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, 632-6901. Let's see who else is out there. Good evening.
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay.
I got this question. Really been bothering me so much.
Uh-huh.
Okay, when you blow your nose, do you use your left or your right hand?
Blow your nose? Blow your nose? What is he talking about? 632-6901. Good evening.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? I just moved into Stony Brook, and I just want to say I love your station, man. I think it's a great thing, and I'm not a hardcore fan, but... Uh-huh. I think it's horrible that they could ban this concert like that. And I was wondering, is it a dead issue? Is it a possibility that we could do something on a smaller scale and work back into concerts?
Well, the only way it could be a dead issue is if we stop talking about it. That's the only way it can be a dead issue. As long as it's kept alive on the radio and in the hallways and in the high schools and everywhere else, it won't be a dead issue. But if everybody says, okay, we can't have any more concerts... then we won't have any more concerts, period. That's the way it is with lots of things, and that's, I guess, it's kind of a learning experience, which is what Stony Brook is supposed to be, but we didn't quite count on it being like this.
And there's no way to start working on a smaller scale with smaller concerts, possibly? And
Well, I don't think it can get much smaller than concerts of, bands that, that travel in the back of a station wagon, accept $5 for gas for the entire night, and have a bunch of high school kids dancing in a basement. You can't get much smaller than that, and those are the kind of shows that suffer the most. The big mainstream popular concerts, they're always going to go on somehow, because they'll find a way to raise the funds or just raise the ticket prices until they break even. But it's all the alternative music that's going to be hurt mostly by this, and the mainstream ones will be hurt too, because you won't see as much as many concerts on campus, because it's just going to be so much harder to break even, so they won't want to.
Right. I used to follow the Grateful Dead around, and there was a lot of controversy and labeling with that, and it seemed to finally work its way out. So maybe there's hope for, that people will realize that there's there's idiots in every crowd.
Yeah, and there's also intelligent people in every crowd. I think what we need to do now is call on those intelligent people to make their voices known. And that includes intelligent people in administration, because, I know they're there. And I know there's people that realize that this is wrong. We have to work together to come up with some kind of a policy so that the kind of unfortunate events that happen don't happen again, and also so that the integrity of this place is maintained and people can have diversity and enjoy other kinds of music. Right now it's a very forbidding atmosphere. It's a lot of tension, a lot of hostility, and we don't like to see that. The people here do not like to see that. And we'll do anything to ease the situation. I think the best thing we can do right now is have an open dialogue.
I've never been to a concert at the university, but as far as security goes, I think a lot of, if it's a lot of hands-on, and are there students that run the security there?
It is now. I don't know what the requirements will be next week, but right now students handle the security.
And that shouldn't be a problem if there's people.
They've done a very good job for the most part. They've done an excellent job, and they should. Be given the benefit of the doubt, so much as they are going to try, and they are interested in making sure that the shows are as safe as possible. I mean, they should be credited with what they have done in the past, and one incident should be torn apart until they figure out exactly what went wrong, and I think that can be done, but that's not what's being done now.
Well, I wish you luck.
Okay, well, thanks for calling. All right. A new listener at WUSB, and... John inside, and you have something to say. Oh, that's Francis. I'm sorry. I just saw the top of your head, and I didn't see the face behind it. What's on your mind?
I was just speaking to the boys before, and they brought up some pretty interesting comments to me. One, it appears that, you know, they're focusing on one specific type of music to censor, and it was a totally different kind of music where this violence broke out. So, I don't know, it's really bizarre how they can just focus in on hardcore music or alternative anything and censor it completely and say, oh, well, this is what provokes the violence, when it was a rap show that provoked the violence, you know, and they... It's just, you know, Cindy Missler was saying just the other day that she went to see the Imperial Bells of China with her Nana. And as they were leaving the Staller Center...
I've heard this story about 50 times.
As they were leaving the Staller Center, a man over the bridge pronounced that he was going to pee off the balcony, you know, and...
I believe he did, too.
And he did.
He did. Yes, he did. Okay.
You know, and he came from Tokyo Joe's.
Now, that's a very interesting point, and something I want to ask a question here. We've got a bar right down the hall from mm-hmm. us. We've got a bar called The End of the Bridge. I've got nothing against this bar, but it's loud, it's noisy, it's got drunken people in there every night, and nobody ever even thinks of shutting them down, you know, and it's a lot of off-campus people go there, mm-hmm. and they cause problems. They really do. They break things. They vandalize. I mean, you know, I guess there should be a bar on campus, although most people on campus can't go to a bar, so I don't really know what the point is. Mm. But if you can allow something like that to operate and be loud and noisy and you know, have people doing all kinds of things like peeing off the end of the bridge and mm-hmm. and breaking bottles, how can you say that, you know, that teenage kids are the problem?
Do you know, Eric, if I went into Tokyo Joe's right now and I sat down and ordered a beer... I would probably imagine that five or six people would come up to me and ask me what I'm doing in their bar. They'd be like, hey, freak, what are you doing in here? You know, we're going to beat you up, you know. And it's happened to me time and time again just because I look different, you know. And I pride myself on being nonviolent. And, you know, I really don't understand why people have to come up, you know, that, you know, like, well, let me put it, for instance, at a hardcore show, everybody there is a different race, religion, or whatever. They're all there bonding and having a good time and enjoying each other's company. You know, and if we went to Tokyo Joe's, we would be picked on left and right, but it's okay for them to come to a show like ours and pick on us, you know, for just out of spite. Uh-huh. And it's like, we're trying to bond with each other and be nonviolent and take out our aggressions in a positive way.
Do you think anything on campus should be banned? Do you think Tokyo Joe's or...
No, I really... If they're going to ban one thing, they should ban everything.
Uh-huh.
But if they're going to focus on one particular thing that has never had an incident, then that's totally unfair, and it's not fair to the community, it's not fair to the students here at Stony Brook, it's not fair to USB. You know, it's just like taking out their fears on a nonviolent way of life.
Francis, you're not a student here, right?
No.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, what do you suggest that people do now?
Well, I think that Mr. Preston should sit down with these kids who are, you know, who want to see these hardcore shows. And, you know, find out what they're all about. Get to know them. You know, if the whole thing is that, you know, nobody knows each other. We're from different levels, you know, like...
But let me just ask you a question. He is the vice president for student affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Why should he even care what people from off campus think or want?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, these shows are for not just for the students. They're for the community also.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why he should care about the community, but I mean, Stony Brook is a part of the community. This college is very much a part of this community. It's been here for quite some time, and a lot of people have grown up with this mm-hmm. university.
Yeah, it's interesting. You say the community, and maybe when the university talks about campus community relations, they don't think of high school kids as part of the community.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think needs to be corrected, because
yes,
they are part of the community, and I think they're one of the best parts of the community.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're the ones who are going to grow up and take over this country. We should be allowed to express ourselves. I mean, if we're just a bunch of unintelligent freaks, then the history books must be completely wrong, because... Albert Einstein was a complete social outcast. Uh-huh. He quit school, and he's one of the greatest scientific minds of our time. You know, he was an outcast.
He probably would have loved slam dancing, too.
Probably, yeah. He
okay.
liked apples.
I want to ask Lily the same question. She is a student on campus. What do you suggest people do?
I just encourage people to talk and you know, let administrators know, and in particular Fred Preston, that they'd like to be heard and they'd like to be consulted with before things happen. I mean, we are students here. And, you know, he should become in touch with his students because that's probably the most evident thing. He's not.
Uh-huh.
Or he doesn't care, or doesn't seem to be. I mean, he is vice president of quote-unquote student affairs, and this is a student affair. And, you know, we'd appreciate it, I'd appreciate it if he consulted us.
And what can, will students be seeing petitions being passed around?
Yeah, they will. They will, most definitely. I will try. I will do it. And let's hope that, I hope I've convinced people that it's an important issue. And I hope these petitions, and so far, that's the only thing that seems to get through Preston is protest and petition, and mm-hmm. that's what I'm going to do.
Let's say there's a student out there. Will a name make a difference on that petition? Have you seen that happen before where petitions actually do something?
Definitely.
Yeah, that's good. Uh-huh. That's good to know then. Okay, well, hopefully we'll be checking in with all these folks in the weeks to come. You know, at the moment, we're not planning any more concerts because... Well, we've had enough of this here at the USB, but we are optimistic for the future because we've got a great bunch of people here, and we want to be able to plan all kinds of neat things, either on or off campus. We prefer to do things on campus, obviously, because the campus world is lends itself to it so much more. It's a natural environment for diversity and creativity, and we hope to see that flourish here. But right now, that's something that's got to be put back into place by students and non-students alike. So we've got our radiothon coming up. We have to raise money one way or the other. If it's not through benefit concerts, it's going to have to be through fundraising on the air. And hopefully we'll be quite successful doing that as well. So stay tuned to USB. Stay tuned to all of our programs and keep track of the situation as it unfolds. We'll be here and we'll let you know what's going on. Thanks everybody for calling. And I don't have an outro, do I? No. Okay, so I'm going to go out with this radiothon promo for one of our many programs. This one's going to be on Friday, Friday morning, I believe. Blues with a Feeling. And I'm Eric Corley. We won't be back next week or the week after that. But you'll be hearing plenty of me during Radiothon, and we'll be back in 3 weeks with another episode of Brain Damage. So stay tuned, and stay tuned for Cabret coming up next. Cabret, rather, coming up next. Thank you.
This is Ed Davis inviting you to join me for a very special edition of Blues with a Feeling. This Friday, March 22nd, as part of WUSB's Radiothon 1991, I'll be your host from 9 to 11 o'clock that morning, bringing you the best in the blues. Tune in and find out what the theme of the show will be that day. That's Friday, March the 22nd from 9 to 11 a.m. right here on Long Island's first station of the 90s, WUSB Stony Brook. See you then.
Attention shoppers! On sale now at aisle 52, electric Kool-Aid, banana peels, postage stamps, electric sugar cubes, and mushroom tea. On sale now at aisle 52.
And shoppers, don't forget, Psychedelic Attention will be open for a 3-hour radiothon special. Starting at 8 p.m. on March 28th. So for the best in psychedelic, garage, and space rock, tune in to Psychedelic Attestant.
a most bodacious bodega.